Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Chaser Report is recorded on Gadigal land.
Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is The Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to The Chaser Report. I'm Charles Firth and with me today, as always, is Dom Knight.
Hello, Charles. How's Adelaide going? Have you almost left the burning city behind you and vacated permanently?
Yes, and I'm leaving today and this morning I found the place that has good coffee in Adelaide. There's one place.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Mm. What's it called?
It's called Abbott and Kinney. Like, it's literally just, you know, a rip-off of that Venice Beach lovely boulevard.
Yeah,
that
they have. The one nice place in LA.
Yes, it's the one nice place. One nice place in Adelaide, one nice place in LA. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, so there you go. Now, big show today. There's lots to talk about. There's 2 weeks
it's
of
a
Parliament
bumper.
Coming up, you know, over the next 2 weeks. So there'll be a lot of disappointment in the Albanese government. I think the honeymoon is not just over, but I think that a lot of people are feeling like maybe it's heading for divorce. So we'll cover that. But first of all, I wanted to start with something because I think I've got a solution.
Oh, I love it when you have solutions.
To the China problem.
Oh, thank goodness. Yes. So which problem are we talking about? Are we talking about the one where the SMH is basically terrified everybody with the reds under the bed? Or are we talking about the genuine concerns that the relationship is souring despite Penny Wong's best efforts?
Well, I'm talking about the fact that they're definitely going to invade us within 3 years, and we're going to be at war with China.
I mean, some say 3 years, Charles. Other experts say 72 hours.
Yes. Now, so the thing is, I think everyone realizes that, you know, like, China's not the aggressor here. Like clearly what's happening is Australia and, well, America is going around whispering to everyone about how, wow, we really need to buy a few more arms from, say, us, so that, you know, and just sort of doing a bit of, you know, really good marketing, really, to sell their arms. And people like Albo are just falling for it, hook, line, and sinker. The British has a really good defence thing. So the point is, you know, like the drumbeats of war, it's being controlled by people who want to sell lots of arms, right? And that's a hard problem to get around, right? So I think we need to learn from the Iraq War lesson. It's the 20th anniversary of the Iraq War this week. That's when it broke out. And Simon Crean actually had some really interesting things to say about the Iraq War.
Are you sure? Oh, is that the same Simon Crean who used to be the Labor leader? Had something interesting to say?
Well, the funny thing is, I was actually involved in the anti-war movement back 20 years ago, right? And I remember at the time Simon Crean wanted to back in the American thing, and we forced him not to. We organised the numbers inside the Labor Party, and we fucking forced him to oppose the war. And he's now going, oh, see, wasn't I right?
What an amazing victory for you, Charles. You must have been so proud, except for the fact that he was the opposition leader.
Yeah.
And a very unpopular one at that.
It was terrible.
We went to war anyway because John Howard just went along with America.
But
other than that, Charles, an amazing achievement of yours.
But Simon had some really actually quite shrewd things to say, some lessons from the Iraq War of 20 years ago. I want you to have a listen to them. I'll just play it to you.
It was illegal at the time, and I released an opinion to that effect. This never went to the Howard cabinet until the last minute. And it was never debated properly in the Australian Parliament in advance of going. They're important lessons to learn, and they still have to be practised.
Now, this got me thinking, right? Okay, so the point is, we went to war without any proper cabinet process, and it didn't go to Parliament. We can do that again. That's the lesson to learn from this, right? And the whole point is, what we should do is everyone who wants to go to war with China, we should point out, hey, China might be a bit large. Like, if we go to war with China, odds are we'll probably lose, right? What we need is a smaller, pissier nation that we can win against.
Oh,
and point all point all the
a
Hawks,
warm-up game.
Point them all in the direction of, you know, like, yeah, like New Zealand is, I don't know, or I mean, who should we invade? What do you reckon?
New Zealand's a bit big. What about the Solomon Islands?
Vanuatu? Solomon Islands. Yeah, yeah. Nauru. Solomon Islands Nauru is good be because the other good thing about the Solomon Islands, my dad used to go over there a lot. And remember when they had that coup about 10 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
And the coup leaders raided the armory. There's an armory where they keep all the guns on the island. And eventually, once the coup got subsided, there was one gun missing from the armory. And that led to a sort of week-long hunt for the gun because they went, hang on, there's a gun on the loose in this island. And they found the gun and then they put it back in the armory. We know that they're undefended. I think that's a great idea. I think there is a big problem, though. We bought a whole lot of really heavy tanks to invade Iraq, remember, back then. And so our tanks aren't useful. You can't unload the tanks onto the Solomon Islands because our tanks aren't appropriate for use around the Pacific.
Charles, could your dad be the general in this attack? Could your dad spearhead the Australian Army's Solomon campaign?
Yeah, I think so. Anyway, so what we do, look, regardless, it doesn't have to be Solomon Islands. It could be like Fiji or...
Yeah, I think Nauru is just about small enough for us to take.
Nauru, Pitcairn Island, I think that's only got about 50 people on it. Yeah. Anyway, point is, what we do is we point them in that direction. We say, look, you don't even need cabinet approval. You can just go to war against a country and you get away with it. They can do it now. Like they're wanting a sort of war to get it out of their system. They go to war, we can win. I mean, arguably, Iraq war was more of a tie. I mean, there are still 2,000 troops, Western troops in Iraq, still to this day, haven't actually quite won that yet. But, you know, like, it would just, I think it's more certain that we would win than if we went to war against a country of 1.4 billion people.
Weren't the winners of the Iraq war actually the Islamic State? The people who swept into the vacuum that we created by getting this Saddam. It's a good idea, Charles. But another way to achieve that is that we've got all these pressures built up, all these experts. I think all the authors of that report in the Sydney Morning Herald, the Red Alert report, Peter Hartcher, all these people, what we need to do is disendorse them as Australians and have them attack China on their own.
Yes.
Just say to China, look, we can't control these people. They don't represent us. A small boat of middle-aged to elderly blokes is heading towards the mainland of 1.5 billion people. Do with them as you wish.
I like that. And look, even if we didn't disendorse them as Australians, I think what we do is we pass some legislation saying conscription should first of all come from people who really wanted to go to war.
Yes, right? Exactly. So, national service, who better just to lead the way on national service than those calling for national service? I have no interest in national service, but those who want to do it, I don't want to get in their way. And if these people want to take on the Red Army, which has, I think, more members than the entire population of Australia, I wouldn't be surprised. Mm. Be my guest. It will be an interesting experiment to see to go from sabre rattling to an actual sabre to inevitable death.
I am not sure that the pundits who are beating the drum of war have that level of courage. I noted that Bevan Shields, who's the editor of the Sydney Morning Herald, wrote this full-throated defence of beating the drums of war at the end of last week. And he posted it to Twitter, and then he promptly deleted his Twitter account because he was getting too many insults. So if he can't even win a Twitter war, I'm not sure he's going to be sort of at the front line charging in. Because the other great thing about this thing, this thing of attacking like Solomon Islands or something like that, is we wouldn't need to buy those 8 nuclear submarines, right?
No.
We could arrive on one of those inflatable boats that you can get at BCF.
Oh, yes. You just need like, I don't know, a cheese grater or something. You wouldn't need much.
Yeah. Or kayak. Actually, Craig's got a couple of kayaks. We could probably borrow his and invade them.
I mean, it sounds like an amazing idea. It's just to blow off some steam. Why don't we do what China would do, actually, We don't even need to attack a sovereign state. We just need to find a little dirt patch.
Yes.
Sitting in the middle of the Pacific.
Yes.
And just put all these drum beaters, they can all take over that island.
Yes.
And just laboriously reclaim land and build it up. And they could put a runway in there if they want. And I just think all those commentators could be on their own little island, and unfortunately wouldn't have internet access, so we wouldn't be able to hear from them ever again. But we'd know that they were keeping us safe somewhere on a rock, an atoll somewhere previously uninhabited. That's what China would do. They'd just garrison some random piece of dirt. Why don't we do the same thing?
I like that. I feel like, what would they trade? Like, what of value do they have to be able to, trade with the rest of the world? Like, what would Peter Hatcher, Bevan Shields, and Andrew Bolt be able to trade with the opinions. Rest of the world?
They trade opinions, right? They would write their opinions on a little message, a little note. They'd put it in a bottle, float it out, and it would be picked up by a few people here and there who would immediately dismiss it as being ridiculous.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's a successful trade, but why not?
So we solved that problem. I think that's something that the parliament should just address this week. Although, actually, it doesn't even need to go through parliament. So
no, it doesn't need to go to parliament.
We just do it.
The more discussion, just get into it. Just get into it and worry about it later.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The Chaser Report. News a few days after it happens.
Okay, the next thing is I want to talk about the fact that the government... Remember just before the election, the government said that they didn't want people's wages to go backwards, right? That was one of their key sort of strategies, was like their message was people's wages shouldn't go backwards under Labor. We are pro wages increases, right?
Sure.
Listen to Katie Gallagher this morning on ABC Radio being asked by Patricia Karvelas about whether wages should go backwards or not.
Is that your position, that you don't want to see them go backwards?
We would want to make, I think particularly for low-income workers, we want to make sure that, they are getting sustainable and affordable pay rises. And you'll see our submission provided through that wage case in the next couple of weeks.
But I'm going to ask it again politely. Will you put in a submission that says that they shouldn't go backwards?
Well, we're currently finalising that submission, Patricia. So
you're not wedded to that language?
Well, no.
She was much clearer on this podcast, Charles, before the election, criticising the Morrison government.
Isn't that weird?
She seemed to have worked out what she thought back then.
Yeah, isn't it weird?
Maybe we should get her back on.
That she seems to have forgotten one of the key commitments of the Labor Party. Anyway, you might think this is a problem, that, that your wages are going to go backwards, right? But don't worry, everyone, because all the banks are about to collapse anyway. So it probably doesn't matter that our wages are going backwards. In fact, having more money means that you probably have more savings in the bank, which will mean that you'll lose more.
You'll lose more.
When
so
your
you'll
bank
end up worse
collapses.
Overall.
Yes. So it's actually a good thing. It's the Albanese government looking out for us by not giving us wage increases, by making us having less wages, that means that we don't lose as much when the banks
collapse. I think I see where you're coming from, Charles. And the other thing is, even if your wages are increased, even if you did get an increase, given the cost of living increases, it's still a net decrease, right? No matter what happens, nobody's going to put your wages up by more than the cost of living.
Inflation. This is the thing. The Greens have actually – no, no, not the Greens. Sorry, the unions have actually put a submission into the Fair Work Commission, because there's a wage case about to come up, saying actually it should be a 7% increase. People shouldn't go backwards. It should actually just keep up with inflation. So, there is an argument to say – and that would seem to align with the promise that Labor made – just before the election. What confuses me is how come they've changed their mind after an election? Like, what has changed that means that they don't want They want wages to go backwards now. I just don't understand.
Well, Charles, the important thing to note is that politicians' wages are set by an independent tribunal, and they always seem to go up. Have you noticed that? I don't know. But Charles, you've got to understand, governing is very different from making campaign promises, because people don't have to like you. The government knows. Mm. I mean, Anthony Albanese is a very experienced politician. He knows that it doesn't matter at all what anyone thinks of him until about this time next year.
Oh, so what you're saying is their policy will once again be that they don't want wages to go backwards in a year's time, just before the next election.
By which time the economy may have stabilised.
Yes.
The other thing is they've only got to be, and this is the thing that they know best of all, and John Howard was the master of this, speaking of Simon Crean, you've only got to be more popular than the others.
Yes.
You don't have to be objectively liked. No one genuinely liked John Howard. Nobody wanted to hang out with John Howard.
No.
He just was brilliant at just doing whatever it took to be slightly more popular than Simon Crean. In the case of Simon Crean, that was an extremely easy job. But all Albo has to do is be less scary and horrifying than Peter Dutton.
Yes.
Peter Dutton, whose approach to AUKUS, I mean, this is the genius of Peter Dutton. He just came from out of nowhere. This wasn't even on the table. And he just said, we're going to be on board with these with all the submarine purchases. We're going to do it as well. And you know what? We're going to get the money by slashing the NDIS. Thereby, it wasn't even on the table. It wasn't necessary. He just wanted to bring into the debate that the NDIS had to be cut.
Yes.
Thereby terrifying all the millions of people who are on the NDIS about a future coalition government. He didn't need to do that.
He's sort of a reverse Bill Shorten, isn't he? Like, Bill Shorten wanted to announce a whole lot of unpopular policies that were unpopular amongst the rich just before the election. And Dutton's doing the same thing by announcing policies that will be really unpopular with the poor just before the election.
Yeah, no one said, Peter Dutton, do you think that the most needy and the people who have the most terrible quality of life and desperately need this extra funding among us, which previously had bipartisan support, do you think we should slash and burn the NDIS as part of this? No one put that to him. That was his own idea.
That was just him free-balling. Like that.
It was the first thing that came into his head was, you know, all those free wheelchairs? Let's not do that anymore. So that's the point. Labor doesn't have to be good. They certainly don't have to keep the unions happy. If anything, Charles, the role of the unions in a modern Labor government is to be the enemy. Is to you beat them up, Charles, to prove that you're not beholden to them.
Well,
that's what the unions are for these days.
One of the best things I heard on that Katie Gallagher interview on Monday was Katie actually was complaining about how the Libs were not coming to the table on backing in their safeguard mechanism over climate change, and so therefore they had been forced to negotiate with the Greens and the Independents, who actually want to do something about climate change.
The opposition.
And they're going, but hang on, you know, this safeguard mechanism means that everyone will get their new coal mines and their gas mines and everything like that, and yet the Libs aren't letting us do this. Like, they're complaining that the Libs were sort of meaning that they'd have to have meaningful legislation on climate change.
So she was saying, we're trying to help the polluters here.
Yes.
We're trying to help your base.
Yes, we're trying to help your base. Business.
We want to screw over the environmentalists and you won't help us.
You're just being obstructionist, was what she said. So anyway, and then...
Must be very rough being in a modern Labor government, Charles.
Now, we haven't addressed... There's one final thing that I think we should talk about before we go, which is we haven't addressed the elephant in the room, which is that there were literal Nazis... There were literal Nazis marching in the street in Melbourne, in downtown Melbourne. Like, Nazis. Yeah, and look, and I'm not talking about, like, Sky News commentators. I'm saying, like, real Nazis, you know, doing the salutes and everything like that, were marching in the streets in Melbourne.
Isn't that refreshing? I mean, there was a time when being a Nazi was something you'd have to hide. It was a views you couldn't express at a dinner party. You certainly couldn't take to the streets and do Heil Hitler salutes. That was considered socially uncouth.
Yes.
You had to hide your deep-seated racism and absolute contempt towards all other races. But in 2023 in Melbourne, you can find a band of brothers, and they were mostly men, to go out there and just lean into the white pride. We've come such a long way since the days of a fairly large global consensus that Nazis were bad and should be defeated on a global basis. That's not what we think anymore, Charles.
Anyway, the point is, if we're looking around for someone to invade, like for a country to invade, maybe Germany again. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying that.
Now, Charles, New South Wales election's coming up on the weekend. Imagine the entertainment we're going to get out of that. At least 3 minutes of content, I would say.
Yes.
It's a big week. It's a very big week.
Yes.
Stay with us here on the Chaser Report for the least comprehensive coverage imaginable. Our gear is from Rode, part of the Iconoclast Network.
See you tomorrow.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.